is my favorite author. I'm surprised at how many preachers have never heard of him. He's a Baptist, pastored in Tasmania, New Zealand, and Australia. He's written about 44 different books. No, about 48, and I have all but four. The last one I paid for, the title may seem strange. It's a very small book, and the price I paid for it was costly. The book itself was only about 70 pages long. I finished it. I got it just a few days ago. I finished it just today, and it already paid for itself to me. The title of it is The Gospel of Robinson Crusoe. Oh, that may sound very strange. How many here have ever read the book of Robinson Crusoe? Okay. For those of you that did not, probably you've heard of Robinson Crusoe. Maybe you've even seen a movie about Robinson Crusoe. It's interesting, Daniel Defoe, the writer of Robinson Crusoe, was a Christian man, and it according to Daniel Defoe, Robinson Crusoe was symbolic of his own spiritual struggles. And there's much to be said in there. There's a chapter in the book called Crusoe the Castaway. And in that chapter, as I was browsing it, Borum presents a text by illustration, but the illustration itself became a sermon. And there's so much about the prodigal son, but he talks about Crusoe being alone and the benefits of being alone. And so that is not the title of this message. As a matter of fact, we'll keep the title very simple. The title will be, And He Came to Himself. And He Came to Himself. If you're able to stand, we're going to read verse 17. Verse 17. Now, the outline, some of it, I will give credit to Mr. Borum. I certainly do not want to plagiarize somebody else's wisdom. I want them to get the credit. But I must say it triggered many thoughts and stirred up my spirit, and I'm appreciative for that chapter, the whole book. Verse 17, the Bible says, And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I want to zero in on that statement, and he came to himself. And he came to himself. Father, bless the message, speak to our hearts, use the remaining minutes that we have together to feed your people, to encourage them, and even challenge them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, I will hasten. The story of the prodigal, it appears there are four progressions in his life. Many of you are familiar with the prodigal son. I hope I don't have to elaborate too deeply. Jesus gave this story about this father who had two boys. One boy wanted to leave and enjoy his inheritance, and he got his inheritance, he left. The other boy stayed home, and of course, that's what the story's about at the beginning. There's so much in it, though. But I want to point out this, okay, about the prodigal who left. These progressions in his life, I'll give you the four progressions. And then I'll emphasize on each point. The first one is this. Well, he left himself was the first progression. Then he ruined himself. Then he came to himself. And then he came to his father. Now, as I consider those four progressions, I see those four progressions in many people's lives, even people who've been in church or grown up in church. Number one, he left himself. In order for a man to come to himself, it tells us he must have left himself at one time, right? For him to come to himself, he must have left himself. So he did. He abandoned himself. So that leads to a question. Please, I hope you will consider a little philosophical thinking with me. I don't think we're going out of the biblical boundary in thinking. God wants us to think. Why would a man leave himself? Let's consider that. I think there's an obvious reason. Well, he's not content with himself. A lot of people leave themselves because they don't like themselves. Now, I know you say you're kind of taking this story a whole different direction. I want us to zero in on some biblical philosophy. I know the story. I'm fully aware of that. No doubt the allurements of the world had his attention. But wait a minute. Doesn't that tell us that he wasn't contented being around his father? Is it this? Maybe this is logical. Maybe, not that he didn't love his father, but the presence of his father revealed something in him that he didn't like, made him discontent. Possible. Because I know this, I know that you can be around certain people and see yourself in ways that you don't like. Hello? Sometimes we can be around people and it's like, wow, you make me see my weaknesses or my faulty character more than I saw it before. And they don't mean to, they just happen to be good character people. They might have great spirit, great attitude, but wow, hanging out with you so long, I'm seeing things about myself. But the bottom line is this. He left himself because I think, okay, he didn't like himself. A lot of people do that. They try, okay, I've got some deductive reasoning here. All right, so he was obviously not content with himself, or he would have stayed. He'd have been just fine there. So this leads us, when you're in that condition, discontent with maybe who you are, there are always options. Always options. So here's a few options. One, you can change yourself. Borum, F.W. Borum says it's every man's duty to win his own self-respect. You can change yourself. That's something you can do. But that's not always easy, is it? That's a difficult thing. Learning to get up, learning to show up, learning to be responsible, learning to own it when you do wrong. Amen. That's not always easy, is it? Developing good character is not easy. But it is a means of being content with yourself when you can look at the man in the mirror and say, you're faithful. You're faithful to the God-given responsibilities in your life. You're faithful to your duty. When you can look in the mirror and you can look to God and know, I've been faithful when it's been difficult. I've been faithful when my flesh was struggling against everything I wanted to do. I stayed faithful. I'm telling you, when you have endured difficult duties, you can sleep better. Or he could do this. Here's another option. Here's what a lot of people do. He could pretend to be another. Now, Jeroboam had a son that was going to die, the king Jeroboam, and so he sent his wife to disguise herself to go see the prophet and find out what was going to happen, which was a farce, because if he believed the prophet had connections with God enough to know what was going to happen to the boy, didn't he believe that the prophet could see through the disguise? So she shows up at her husband's command and shows up at the prophet's door, and the prophet says, why hast thou feigned thyself to be another? It's a tough thing trying to be someone you're not. David taught us something in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when he was ready to go to battle. He was equipped with all of Saul's armor and all of Saul's weapon, and he hesitated to go, and he says, I can't go in these. I've not proved him. You know what he was saying? This isn't me. This isn't me. I like what Jack Hiles said. He said, now I'm going to forget what he said. When you can't take the real you with you, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. So, but you can pretend to be another. Teenagers do that. Adults do that. Because we want to fit in. Hello? Because we don't like who we are. And so we think the way I fit in, I got to pretend I'm something that deep down I'm not. But maybe if I talk about this, and maybe if I try this, and maybe if I act like this, maybe if I wear this, I can fit in. Even though deep down that's not really me, but I want to fit in because I can't take the real me with me because I'm not content with that. Hello? And people do that. But that too always leads to the far country. That leads to the far country. Then there's this third option, and it's very similar. You know, what's a guy do when he's not content with who he is? What's he do? Well, he can change himself, or he can pretend to be another, or he can run from himself. He can run. Now, that sounds easier. I don't want to be responsible for my actions here. I'm just going to leave. And I'm going to leave, and then I can be someone else over here. And that way they'll think this is really who I am. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The ways of death. Now, I was going through this in my brain. I was thinking, you know what? I know a lot of people who have done these things. Changing yourself in such a way that you feel at peace with God and assured of who you are regardless of the opinions of others, that's not easy. But that's the best decision, but that's not an easy decision. Here's a young man that couldn't do it, so he flees. It just seems more fun in the far country. If I could just have my inheritance now, Dad, and I don't have to milk the cows anymore. I don't have to clean the stalls anymore. I don't have to till the garden anymore. I just like to do it on my own, Dad, and just give me a shot. And so we read on. And the result is he ruins himself, doesn't he? Let's look at verse 13 through 16. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want," in need. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." That's pretty dire straits there. I'd say that boy's hit bottom. He's ruined himself. Now, he's not dead yet. We know the story. Life's not over. But how many people have we seen who had so much potential and just decide, you know what, I'm afraid to stand out for Christ. The fear of man bringeth a snare, by the way. And so I want to fit in. And so to fit in, I'm going to have to do things that, I know it's compromising my own heart. And I know it's not right before God, but I just want to fit in. And so they get on this pattern, this road, and they never do develop any personal character or strength. And it weakens them as men and women later on in life, and even as adults. And oftentimes it leads to a life of ruin. or horrible scars. It's not over. Oh, no, it's not over. But I know scores of people, real human beings. I said real human beings who apparently they weren't comfortable with themselves. Or maybe somebody could say, well, maybe the real them was the far country. Well, maybe it was, but it was obvious they weren't comfortable. He wasn't comfortable around his dad. We're going to learn some things about his whole life, though. He knew some things. They were there, though he forgot. Here's something that's fascinating. See, he ruins himself. He becomes a man of bad character. He's lost it all. He's lost his money, lost his friends. He's left his family. He's abandoned. I would say he's alone. It appears he's alone, does it not? When a man's ruined himself, they start to feeling awful alone. And I was considering this, you know, I've got a heart for lonely people. I do. When somebody comes, not everybody is a social bug, and people come in the church, man, my natural inclination is to go make them feel welcome. Because I've been the kid who's been the stranger in the new school. I've been the kid who's had holes in the bottom of my tennis shoes and didn't want to cross my legs. I mean, I've been that kid. So, you know, when I see that, my heart just goes out to them. I want them to feel welcome. But there is a huge benefit in being alone. Especially when you left yourself, especially when you've turned from all that was right, all that was true, all that was honorable, to just fulfill your own selfish gratifications or to try to be something that, man, is really not you. You see, he's impoverished, and now he is forced to think about his life, his character, his condition, and his father. And that's a good thing. Because here it is, we come to verse 17 again. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." He wasn't thinking about that earlier, he is now. Now we don't have time to turn to all these verses, so I'm just going to give you references. But I find it fascinating. In Genesis 32, verse 24, Jacob has made some poor decisions in life. He's been a sneaky character. He's a man who has a heart for God, but his character is under suspect. Now he's frightened. He's frightened about his brother returning. The last he's heard from his brother was going to kill him. Well, he knows himself, and he doesn't feel right with God. He doesn't feel like he has God taking care of him. He's left his in-laws. He's heading back to his home. And now he knows, "I'm going to be confronting my brother." And he's just got word his brother is coming with 400 men. That sounds intimidating. He doesn't know if his brother is coming to ambush him or what. He has no idea. And so we get to this passage in Genesis 32, 24. And it says, "And Jacob was alone." Oh, good. That's good. Now he's got to do some thinking. Now he's got to do some reflecting. You see, now the distractions of this world cannot hinder him, and God can speak to him clearly and point out the things that need to be pointed out. And it's fascinating that when he gets in that wrestling match with the angel says, "So what's your name?" Like he didn't know. "So what's your name?" And he says, "Jacob." Well, the word Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. You know what Jacob was doing? He was confessing. "This is who I am." And that's when the angel said, "All right, we're going to give you a new name. You're going to be Israel." But he had to be left alone. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, here's another man that was left alone. They left him alone thinking that they were going to torment him. But old John, the apostle, would say, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Jesus met with him and he got the revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole book of Revelation that we read, because of his time alone. This being alone can be a good thing. Now, we are social creatures. We need socializing. But sometimes that loneliness, even when it's forced upon us, can be a blessing from God. If we're honest with ourselves and we truly seek the Lord. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Scripture says something like this, and he went alone into a solitary place and there prayed. That's our Savior. He went alone into a solitary place and there prayed. It would do us good. Robinson Crusoe, back to the fictional story with much truth in it. You know, in that book, he comes to trust the Lord as his Savior. For those that read it, no, he ended up calling on the Lord in his sickness, and his Bible became his closest companion. And even when he met Friday, he taught Friday the Word of God. That's what believers do when God's in their heart. So, but what did it take for Robinson Crusoe to do this? It took being a castaway all alone. You see, in that story, though it's a fable, and by the way, the story of the prodigal son is a parable, but it's lived out all over the world in reality. But in the story of Robinson Crusoe, in the story, he is confronted with the terrors of eternity. He's sick and he's going to die, and he's confronted with who he is before a holy God. Gets humble. That's a good place to be, ladies and gentlemen. You see, because when we come back to the prodigal here, that's where he was at. He came to himself and there were some real truths, unchangeable truths in his mind that he would hold to. One was, my father's servants, they eat better than I do. Now, he didn't say it, but he could have said, the way my father lives is totally different than the way they live in the far country. He didn't say that, but he could have. I said he could have. But now his body is hungry. He looks to God and he admits, I've sinned, and he seeks the Lord. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Take me back as a servant. And he gets up. You know the story. He gets up. He heads home. Lo and behold, the father had been looking for him the whole time and runs to him and embraces him. Oh, don't let the story get old to you. There's so much in this story. You see, this is interesting. See, we get a glimpse of the knowledge that the boy had of home and of his father. He knew his father was not an enabler. He said, if I go home and I just tell Dad, I'll be a servant. I'll be a servant. Not, if I own it, if I own my sin and tell him I've sinned against heaven and against him, and I'll be a servant, there's a good chance he'll take me back. He didn't say, yeah, all I got to do is go home. I'll get a nice place to sleep and eat, and I can live off Dad in the basement for a while and kind of watch cable TV and do my own thing. And that wasn't his attitude at all, was it? His father didn't leave that attitude with him, which tells us that the father was a man of character, had a work ethic, probably very true to his principles, and yet he was merciful. Merciful. And so, he discovers his father would take him back as a son. And when a son returns as a servant, we're always welcomed as sons. That's the reality. Father, bless the message. Thank you for the Word of God. May your Holy Spirit help each person here. If there's anyone here at this time that maybe in their own heart and their own life, they're struggling with themselves, who they are in the light of your presence, I pray they'd be honest before you and humble before you and allow you to do a work in their lives to transform them and change them, to make a real difference in their personal character, so that they wouldn't have to flee, they wouldn't have to pretend, they could stand boldly for who they are. With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe there's somebody in here like that, and you just say, "Preacher, pray for me. I sure would like to pray for you." Anybody like that at this time? Anybody like that? Just say, "Pray for me." God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Any others? Just say, "Pray for me, preacher." All right. Father, thank you for the great story of the prodigal son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to grab your prayer sheets. We got about